This episode brought to you by Beta Brand, the San Francisco-based source for crowdfunded clothing. You can visit in person the next time you're in San Francisco or stop by anytime online to shop bestsellers like dress pant yoga pants and now yoga jeans. And when you do, use the code SPIRIT20 to save 20% off anything on the site. Spirit of 608, episode 116. You're listening to the Spirit of 608 podcast. I'm your host, Lorraine Sanders. Keep listening for stories, tips, and advice from women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. I call it FEST, and it's the future. Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Spirit of 608 podcast. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us and checking out the show. If you are coming back, you know this is the show for and about women at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. It's a space I call FEST, and I'm so glad to get into another show today. Just a heads up, pardon me as I'm doing this intro, and you won't have to listen to this voice for the rest of the show because we've got a really different kind of show and you're actually not going to really hear me at all. More on that in a second, but yeah, voice totally terrible. Went on 2 cross-country flights in 48 hours over the weekend, got a horrible cold, and actually totally lost my voice for about 3 days and was waiting as long as I possibly could to record for you this week. And I got to do it today or else we're not going to be able to go live with the show. So that's what happens sometimes when you podcast every week. You get into a situation where your instrument is not cooperating with you. So hopefully this won't make you feel like you need to have a cup of tea and curl up in bed. But I simply could not wait to bring this show to you. We've been waiting for months and months to get this out. And I wanted to wait until September, back to school. And probably any of you listening who've been associated with school at this time of year feel like it's been going on for months now. But we're just at the end of September. And for this week's episode, we are going on to a campus. That's right. We're going to the University of Virginia. And we're going to hear from 8 students from the campus. And why would I do something like that? Well, this is a very special project spearheaded by a young journalist, Melissa Angel. She interned for the Spirit of 608 last spring. She's a student at the University of Virginia campus, which is located where I live in Charlottesville, Virginia. I want to say a huge thank you to Melissa for interning and also bearing with my sometimes touch and go approach to management. I'm not necessarily the easiest person to pin down. I'm always running all over the place, and she really rolled with the punches. She was resilient, and when it came to this project, we batted around a bunch of different ideas, and they ranged from an investigation into the intersection of fashion and technology to the ethics and sustainability at play in major brands today. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, we realized that you can't do real reporting unless you can go out and talk to people in person and get real new information. I mean, so much of what people do online today is just like regurgitating everything else that's out there. And I really felt strongly that she should go and do some original reporting on the ground. And yet we don't live in a fashion mecca. So it was kind of hard to figure out, how are we going to do this from Charlottesville with the resources that we have? And then all of a sudden it was like, what? We have the best resource ever. We have people that are the consumers of the future. So we began talking about that. The more and more I thought about it, I realized, hey, this is an amazing opportunity for us to send somebody onto the campus and come back with the information that I know so many of you listening want to know. I mean, people today who are running brands, and I know the majority of our listeners are either running a retail store, running a fashion startup, building their own independent fashion label, and trying to do things in an ethical, sustainable, innovative ways. And what I hear so often from the people I work with, and also just in passing at events and online and Facebook groups and everybody that I network with, people are trying to figure out, well, what do my customers want? And not only what do my customers of today want, but what do the customers who will be my customers in 5 years want? What does the future hold? And really, that is what is at the core of this show. What does the future hold for the fashion industry and everything it means for the world? Because as you know, I truly believe that one of the biggest disconnects we have as consumers, and especially in Western culture today, is the relationship we have with our apparel. We're very, very attuned to what goes on with our food and how that affects our environment and our bodies. We are not so attuned to how apparel affects the world around us and the world within us, to be frank. But there are a lot of entrepreneurs who are trying to figure out how to do things in a better, more ethical, more positive way in the future and build businesses around it, viable, sustainable businesses. And to do that, you really, really must understand your customer, and you have to give the customer what the customer wants. You can't browbeat a customer into paying more or buying different fabrics or styles or fits than they actually want, just because that's more ethical or sustainable for you to create. So anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying that I wanted to bring you opinions from real students. They haven't been coached. They have no ties to the fashion industry. They don't have a horse in this race. They just sat down with the Spirit of 608 to give us their honest opinions on how they shop, what they think about style and sustainability, whether ethical fashion is even on their radar, what they're willing to pay for garments, what brands they love, and what informs the choices they make when they're about to purchase. So these are the customers that will be shopping from you in the future, those of you who are listening. So I know this is going to be valuable for you. I was listening to a couple of the interviews just before recording this, and I got chills thinking about how great some of these insights are. And you know, today we spend so much time trying to figure out ways to digitally guess and determine what it is that our users and audience members and customers want. We do A/B testing, we do online surveys, we get into Facebook groups, we put out different offers and see which ones people respond to the most. We ask questions on our email lists. Well, there's a good old-fashioned way of figuring out what people want, and that's to sit down and just ask them face-to-face. And that is what Melissa Angel has done with this episode. I hope you enjoy it. I know I did. I know you're going to enjoy it more than you have listening to my voice at this moment, but you know, certain moments, can't stop, won't stop, gotta keep pressing forward. A place where you will always find the can't stop, won't stop ethos. You guessed it, our fabulous episode and show sponsor, Beta Brand. You can check them out over at betabrand.com, BETABRAND.com. And this week, I'm gonna call out a true classic basic item from their website. As you might guess, I'm feeling kind of basic this week, so I'm gonna go with something that fits my mood, but is actually extremely cool. It is the No Sweat Pullover, and this is one of those truly versatile tops for fall that you can throw on over a collared shirt, wear it to work. It's got a slightly cropped, boxy shape, so it looks contemporary hip of the here and now, if you know what I mean. And you could also just throw it on over your yoga pants. Hit the farmer's market. Whatever you do on a Saturday morning, it's made with moisture wicking fabric for all day comfort, super stretchy, made to be layered, and it's only $68. And guess what? With the code SPIRIT20, you can save 20%, but I'll let you in on something even more amazing, which is that for the month of October, they have an even better deal running on their site. I won't tell you what it is. You got to visit their site to check it out. You can save even more. Hit them up over at betabrand.com. Maybe in the comments, tell them Spirit of 608 sent ya. Stick around after the interviews for a brief update from the Spirit of 608 Facebook community and more. Now, on to the interviews and our adventure on the University of Virginia campus.
Can you please state your name, year, and major?
My name is Bao Tran Lei. I'm a fourth year and I'm studying biology.
How would you define your personal style?
I'm usually casual most of the time, but there are times when I like dress up all the way just for fun, you know, just to feel good about myself. I guess it's generic UVA style.
What is generic UVA style? Oh.
Not like preppy, but it's just like everyone just dresses very nicely compared to, you know, the regular like jeans and t-shirt.
What would you say the average UVA student wears to class on a day-to-day basis?
For a girl, I guess like, I don't know, it's always like a nice top, a dressy top. Or I see lots of rompers and cute dresses. Yeah, and for a boy, like typical, like those like shorts above the knees, mm-hmm. and yeah. like a V-neck or a button down, you know.
So then what would be preppy is my question, because I ask, because a lot of people often associate UVA students with kind of dressing preppy, so I want to dig deeper into this.
Yeah, so preppy probably goes with the brand, you know, how you see like the Vineyard Vines brand, and then yeah, kind of like what the guys wear. I feel like, I guess it is like preppier than like other places, but yeah. And then for girls, like again, like girls, I feel like they just dress up like really, really nicely. Gotcha. Yeah.
What was your last purchase fashion wise?
Oh, my last purchase of fashion wise was probably a couple of days ago. It was like my graduation dress.
Where did you buy it?
Lulu's? Yeah.
Where else are you thinking of purchasing a graduation dress?
I normally go to Toby, so I'm probably just going to look at that afterwards.
Okay, and yeah, so Toby's online. So do you do most of your shopping online, or do you most of your shopping in person, or what's your ratio between online and in-person shopping?
I feel like most of the times, like, I don't shop often, so it's like 60% in-store, 40% online. Because for online, again, like my size is, I'm very petite, so it's really hard to find my size. But then like I don't go out often to the malls and all that. But if I do, it's like, it does get exhausting because there's just so many clothes. But yeah, I'd rather try them on in person.
Do you have any go-to brands that you really like?
I guess Forever 21, and then like I go to H&M for jeans.
Will you ever buy things that influencers post about on social media? So for example, like Kylie Jenner, she markets a lot of clothing that she, would you ever be inspired to purchase something that a celebrity wears or markets?
No.
And you've never purchased no. something like that in the past based off of an Instagram post or?
No, I actually, another, I guess it's not really a brand, but I also shop more at like Marshall's, like okay. Marshall's, TJ Maxx. Like, so it's just like a bunch of different brands discounted, you know, I go for the discounts.
What do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
Wait, what kind of t-shirt?
A solid colored t-shirt.
Oh, like $5?
$5. What about a graphic tee?
Probably just like $8-ish.
Yeah. Okay. Does it matter to you which country your shirts are made in? / clothing in general, jeans?
It doesn't really matter, but like I kind of just follow what my parents tell me, like stay away from China. But yeah.
Do you associate Made in America with a higher quality brand?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Why?
Based on like what I have, then yeah. And then,
so like a good example, like, so American Apparel, yeah, all of their clothes were exclusively made in America, but now they're going out of business because,
oh, are they?
Yes. So they declared bankruptcy because a lot of their clothes, although it was made in America, they also retailed at a higher price.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they paid their workers fair wages and they claimed their quality was better and stuff like that. So have you ever purchased shirts from them before?
No, but like, see, like I was referring to them as like Made in USA because like, because I have a friend who started her own clothing brand, and then so she uses like their like t-shirts that, and then she like prints on them and she sells them. So like she sells at a higher price because, you know, they sell at a higher price. So that's, I guess I do have clothes from them through her.
So you have been motivated in the past to purchase items that are of better quality if they've been made like through friends or if they're American made. How much did you pay for a t-shirt from her? Just curious.
So she made a crop for me and I paid $20 for it. But yeah.
What's your favorite apparel or accessories brand with a social mission? So for example, a lot of people know about Tom's.
Elephant Pants.
Elephant Pants?
Yeah.
Great. Why?
I really like them because it feels like you're not wearing pants, which mm-hmm. it's a great feeling. And
so comfort.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And the material is pretty nice, too, for the price that you get. Mm-hmm. And elephants are my favorite animal, so I would do anything to save them.
Yeah. What are some things you keep in mind when you go out shopping? So you mentioned, like, material and quality and comfort. What are, if you had to rank, I guess, like, top three things that a clothing item needs to do for you, what would those be?
Okay. Quality, price, and comfort.
Comfort? Mm-hmm. Okay. What is one trend that should just never come back?
Maybe like really, really like baggy, like MC Hammer pants type. Because I feel like some of them are coming back. Like I know like Harlem are nice, but like if they're like too baggy, then it's like, no.
Okay. All right. Can you please state your name, year, and major?
Jay Windsor. I'm a fourth year computer engineer.
So how would you define your personal style?
My personal style is I'm not like your I guess stereotypical engineer that wears only shirts about what company he's about to work for or like Star Wars shirts. I'm more of like a solid colored shirt, maybe with some patterns like a stripe pattern or patchwork pattern. Mostly wear jeans during the winter, and I mostly wear khaki shorts during the summer. So pretty simple, but not as nerdy as some of my peers.
Totally fine. So you mentioned the t-shirt. What do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
It really depends on what type of t-shirt you're getting. Like the t-shirt that I'm wearing now is a J. Crew t-shirt, and I would probably buy it for around $30 to $40 at an outlet store or something like that. But if I'm buying like a brand name t-shirt, like for like a surf company or like something that it basically is using me to advertise, I would probably buy it for around like 10 to 20.
Okay. When you go purchase your clothing, do you ever keep in mind brands, or what's the main initiative when you go into a store and you're looking for a shirt or a pair of jeans?
So jeans, I like them to be kind of stylish. I like them on the darker side, and I'd like them to have a little bit of a faded look, not like totally uniform in color. And I also, for shirts, I mean, definitely not like brand name jeans. I'm not in a brand name jeans because who cares? Like no one sees the logo or anything like that. For shirts, I would probably go with either, I have two extremes on the shirts. I either go for like a surf shirt. I'm from Virginia Beach. There's a company called WRV, Hotline, 17th Street. And where I came from, it's very common to wear those style of shirts. Here at UVA, it is less common. So I kind of lay low on the surf brand t-shirts, and I kind of switch to a J. Crew style, just kind of like a solid or striped t-shirt.
And going off of purchasing now, what was your last purchase that you made fashion-wise?
The shirt that I'm wearing now.
Nice, nice. What, did you purchase it from an outlet store or did you purchase it online?
So yeah, I purchased it from an outlet store.
Okay. Do you do most of your shopping, you'd say, in person or online, or is it?
Yeah, I do almost all of my shopping online. I mean, in person, because I like to, you know, try it on before I get it. I like to actually see it and feel it in person because I'm very particular on the fabric. If the fabric's, you know, the type of fabric that I like, kind of soft, and if it fits me, that's very important to me. And I don't want to deal with like the return process online.
Understood. Understood. Mm-hmm. Do you have any go-to brands?
Yeah. So I'm currently wearing American Eagle jeans, and I would say that's what I wear for the most part. In terms of jeans, I've actually been going into, like, when I wear khaki pants, which is very rare, I have to have like a special occasion to wear those. I do go with a Brooks Brothers khaki pant. And for shirts, I tend to stick towards J. Crew just because I kind of like the style. I have a lot of pastels in the button-down shirt variety and the t-shirt variety. So that's what I do.
Have you ever purchased items that influencers post about on social media?
I don't really pay attention really to social media much at all, especially when it comes to fashion. But I will tell you, a few weeks ago, I did actually buy a shirt online, which is very, very weird for me. It's a company called Ably. It's based out of Seattle. It's a startup, and it's a shirt company, which they advertise it as a shirt that you do not need to wash for several weeks. And I was just, you know, kind of interested in that because it looked stylish. It apparently looks and feels like cotton, except it doesn't need to be washed. And that seemed very, very good for like a long vacation. And I am about to go on a long vacation. So I actually bought that straight from social media, clicked on the link and immediately bought it. But that's the only time that I've ever done something like that.
Do you think you would be motivated to do something like that in the future if you saw similar items?
Yeah, so of
because
course,
it does bypass, you know, the in-person experience.
The in-person experience I do like a lot. Of course, the reason I bought this was because it was a novelty item. If I could go into the store and see this in person, even if the store was like 50 miles from where I am, I would probably drive that 50 miles to go see this object in person. but I could not do it here, so I had to buy it online.
Do you care if your clothing does anything beyond being clothing? And so you mentioned, I mean, with this is, you know, a novelty item, but I'm kind of getting more at fitness tracking devices and stuff like that. Is that more appealing to you to pay larger premiums for pieces of clothing that service you more? So for example, there's the Sensoria running socks, which retail, I want to say around $159 for a pair of socks, but they come with these sensors that track your movements and can streamline personal data to you and dictate, you know, if any problems come up with your daily run, stuff like that. Yeah. As a consumer, would anything like that interest you in the future?
So yeah, that does interest me. It would have to pass a few tests. First, it would have to provide me with utility. I would actually have to get a lot more out of it than I would expect, because there is the extra burden of having to maybe possibly charge the device within the clothing. And one thing that I really do not like is having something involved in the clothing that is new. For example, I got the Avely shirt because it said it felt like cotton and it looked like cotton. And I would have not gotten it if there was a single review saying that it did not feel like cotton. Of course, like, I will never invest in like a Fitbit or something like that, because that's something that you wear on your wrist. And I'm just not into having something on my wrists. I was looking into the Nike Plus shoes for a while, but that involved having a device in your shoes. And the possibility of the lump inside the shoes was really turning me off from fully investing in that Nike Plus system.
How often do you pay attention to crowdfunding campaigns, if any?
I occasionally look at a few of the ideas in crowdfunding campaigns. I can't say I've ever supported them just because of the possibility of the company failing and a bad investment. So I've never supported one myself, but I am interested in following some of the more interesting technologies.
What specific campaigns have caught your eye recently?
So the most ridiculous one is probably Solar Roadways. That, of course, failed miserably a few years ago. Recently, I've been interested in following the Juicero scandal.
And so if you're interested in, you know, the tech side within this, and you also mentioned that you wouldn't have purchased this shirt if it didn't feel like cotton, would you ever consider investing in something that was 3D printed, such as a piece of clothing?
If they can make it comfortable, like, I see no reason why I wouldn't. It's just a new way to manufacture clothing.
It is. And it's also, it's much more sustainable as well. So I have two more questions for you. What's one item you're dying to own right now that you haven't purchased?
Oh, man. I'm a pretty simple guy. I can't really think of much that I'm dying to have. Much of what I want is information, and I can find that free on the internet.
Okay. And do you have one trend that you think that just should never come back in style?
I was going to say bell-bottom jeans. I'm sorry. I probably offend you in that statement. But
No offense taken.
Also, baggy pants. They are quite offensive to me.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It's just... as a guy, it makes me uncomfortable because baggy pants could say something about the guy.
Such as?
The size of the jank.
All right. And with that, I think we're done. Thank you, Mr. Windsor.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Name, year, and what you're studying, and then we'll get into it.
Okay. My name is Ajmal Bokhtari. I'm a second year. I study American Studies, music, and a minor in psychology.
Okay, great. So how would you define your personal style?
Functional. I'll wear the same outfit for a couple days because I don't have time to change. I mean, I do have time to change, but it's just so much easier to just like sleep in my clothes and wake up and go to class in my clothes. I'll brush my teeth and wash my face.
Do you think the normal college student does that?
Some of them do.
Okay.
The average, I suppose there's such a huge scale of variety of people. Some folks, you know, really take time to check out their wardrobe every day. And some days I'll do that too.
So what was your last purchase in fashion?
This.
And
I got this.
Can you tell me what this is?
This is a white long sleeve t-shirt, very lightweight polyester material. I picked it up in preparation for a trip to Death Valley. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hanging up in the desert for a week, so I wanted a lightweight material. Something that I could easily clean, and so I found this. It was about $1.95.
In the thrift store?
In the thrift store.
And what, so I see it's L.L. Bean. Like, L.L. Bean. Was that what kind of attracted you to the shirt as well?
It was mostly the vents in the back, the slight material, and yeah, it's a respectable brand. Mm-hmm. So I figure, you know.
Does that factor into your decisions when you purchase clothing, brands?
Not so much recently. Like these socks from Costco.
Okay.
And they're just like white socks. I could wear Nike socks too, but. And I thought about that this morning. Okay. Whether I should wear my Nike socks because they would look cool, people like Nike, or these because they're dysfunctional and they're the same thing essentially.
What is the specific allure behind the Nike socks and like behind a brand? Like, oh. So you talk about being cool. Can you
right.
Just, like, tell me when more
we talk about,
that.
About commodity fetishism. Okay. It's this idea that the brand will change us. It will transform us in some way that by wearing Nike, we are more powerful, we are more athletic. And so that's just kind of the connotation behind that.
So kind of going off of that, when was the last time you bought something with an app?
Mm-hmm. Like on a cell phone or like on a computer?
Conventionally like a cell phone, but I guess you could use one on your computer as well.
I think the last thing I bought was from Amazon. That was a beanie.
Okay.
Last.
Okay. Do you remember, was there a brand behind the...
It was a year and a half ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's fine.
It was a Neff. N-E-F-F.
Okay.
Wait, three what? Tricolor beanie with a little poof on the top.
Why were you on Amazon? Just curious. Why didn't you go on perhaps L.L. Bean or like another site of a brand?
It's because I found it there first and I lost it. Okay. And so I knew where to go.
Why Amazon and why not Walmart or something like that? Is it?
That's a great question. Perhaps it's for the convenience aspect, you know, just being mm-hmm. able to do it you know, from my hand and not having mm-hmm. to go into the store.
It's definitely, well, but on Walmart, couldn't you go online as well?
Go online as well. No, so I suppose I would imagine Amazon to have a higher quality of selection and choice okay. and of material too.
More diversity and choice.
Yeah, and I would just think Walmart is just like a lower quality in terms of durability. I'm looking for a longer lasting material.
I think a lot of college students, like they can really get sucked into, you know, online shopping and stuff like that. So when you, you know, go out and like purchase, you just go purchase off what you need kind of.
Yeah. Garbanzo beans.
Does it matter to you which country like your clothing, particularly like with t-shirts are made in?
Hasn't been a factor before. I probably will take notice.
For example, with like American Apparel, who is now closing their doors.
Never purchased from them.
Why?
Never have.
Is it just too, have you ever looked, have you
never,
ever browsed?
Never been inside. I've heard of them.
Okay, so.
The name is familiar as you mentioned them.
So it didn't really attract you that they were made, like their clothing was made in America?
No, it wasn't a factor.
What is a factor? So you talked about just when you need it, but what are some other factors for you when you go purchase clothes?
Yeah, of course. Well, I want to make sure the clothes look good on me too. You know, I'll definitely take the time when I'm in the store mm-hmm. to try them on. I bought that beanie online because I knew it was just like a hat, you know, it'd be okay. Mm-hmm. But for other clothes, like pants, shoes, clothes, I'll always try it on just to make sure that it's comfortable. I like the fact that that someone crafted the clothes with their hands rather than by a machine.
And has that ever been a factor for you before in your clothing?
Hasn't been before, but now it will be in the future.
Okay. What's one item you're dying to own right now that you haven't bought?
A new pair of these shoes, dude. Look at the tread on these bad boys.
What shoes are these?
These are Nike Internationalists. I've worn these shoes pretty much every day for the past year and a half now. Like, seriously.
You're mentioning like that you want to get new shoes soon. What are you going to do with these old shoes when you get new ones? What's going to happen to them?
Well, I'll probably get new ones when these like break, when they're unwearable anymore.
So you say like they're unwearable tomorrow. What are you going to do? Are you going to throw them out? Are you going to donate them? What's going to happen to them?
I don't know. These have a lot of sentimental value. It'll take a little bit of time for me to be able to part with them. I'll probably keep them in my shoe rack for a couple weeks, and then I'll be like, you know what? This is dumb. And I'll throw them away.
So usually like when you're done with your clothing, you're purchasing like a new wardrobe. What do you do with your old wardrobe?
Usually it goes to my little brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And might just stay in the house for a little while. But at that point, we'd probably give it to Salvation Army. Like Salvation Army or like the Habitat for Humanity.
Do you ever think about what happened to your clothing, the ones that don't end up on the shelves in Salvation Army? Do you ever think about where it goes?
Never.
What would be your best guess?
Not being sold.
In Salvation. So you donate your clothes to Salvation Army. Sure. They take like 75% of it. 25% they're like, we can't sell this. Where do you think it goes?
You know, I want to say that it goes to some homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. I want to say that it goes to some purpose. But I wouldn't be surprised if they just threw it away. Who?
Do you know that fashion is the second dirtiest business behind big oil?
How so?
Because of how clothes collect in landfills and how we're producing more and more. And it's very hard, you know, for fabric and biodegradables and whatnot. So
it's in terms. They're talking about it in terms of sustainability.
Precisely.
And pollution. Oh, I didn't know that. So now that just that encouraged me just to buy less, just to continue to use what I need, essentially.
Are you aware of Fashion Revolution Week?
No. Is it this week?
No, it's not.
What is the revolution? Are we throwing away all clothes ever?
No.
But just knowing about it, it makes me want to, honestly, it makes me think, oh, I want to buy a piece of clothing just so I can be a part of this culture, this community. If someone were to, you know, present me options during this week and explain to me what was going on, I might be far more inclined to actually buy a piece of clothing.
Even if it was more expensive.
Just to be a part of the movement. Should I ask you about your fashion?
No.
Okay. But I won't.
All right. Can you please state your name, year, and major?
Elaine Koo, rising fourth year, commerce, marketing, and IT.
So let's get into it. How would you define your personal style?
My style is that intersection of being very experimental and also comfort. I think being in the comp school, you spend long, long hours within the building, and you're not sure what'll pop up, so you have to always be ready to just kind of stake out and be there until like 4 a.m. So comfort is where that comes in. But then where the experimental side comes in is, I don't have a set style. I like to incorporate different styles from different kind of, I guess, quote unquote, like defined styles, like different, I can't talk today, but anyways, things like grunge or chic, and just putting it all together and just seeing a mix of patterns, because I like to keep it fun and like mixing with patterns.
What can mix it up?
Right. Yes.
Great. What was your last purchase that you made?
Okay, I went on a crazy shopping spree online. I spent $200, and I noticed that everything I was buying was a halter top style.
Okay.
So it's a variety of different items. So there are rompers, dresses, and then like jumpsuits. Okay. They're all halter style. And I realized that just looking through my wardrobe, a lot of my necklines are halter tops. What I specifically bought, one of them was all black, and the other one was because I noticed that my wardrobe is becoming more solid colored. Like I have a lot of like gray, navy, and blue. Gray, navy, and black. So this time I chose a multi-very colorful outfit, more springy. And then I found out that that was the perfect time to do it because a lot of items were on sale. But then they were like pretty recent designs, but at the same time, they're fitting with the weather.
And can I interject here? What sites were you shopping on?
American Eagle and Nordstrom Rack.
Okay. And is there, what would you say is your go-to designer of choice?
Regarding shoes, Franco Sarto, because I have incredibly small feet, and they are the only brand that makes makes shoes for women, also in my size.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is my go-to shoes. Regarding clothes, I think it would be J. Crew or American Eagle.
How often do you go thrift shopping, if at all?
I don't view thrift shopping as shopping. I think of it as like a one-time excursion.
Okay.
Like I go out of my way to go thrift shopping. So maybe like once a semester.
So when was the last time you went to a thrift store then? Like curiosity.
It was last semester.
Okay. Did you purchase anything when you went?
Yes.
What did you buy?
I bought a poster.
Okay.
It's like a framed UVA poster for 99 cents.
Very cool.
Thank you.
Very cool. They always have some nifty things there.
They do.
Yeah, always a variety.
Yeah.
So revisiting how you went online to purchase your clothing.
Yeah.
Have you ever purchased any clothing or any type of apparel over an application on your phone?
No.
Do you buy things that influencers post about on social media? So, for example, like on Instagram, sometimes there'll be a post advertising like the elephant pants, and you can click on it.
Yeah.
Would you ever, or if a figure you really admired posted something, have you ever done that in the past where you have been influenced to purchase an item based off a social media celebrity?
Yes. So I'm influenced by style, but not by brand.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I see something that they're wearing, I'm usually influenced by that item, not because, oh, they're wearing it, but because they wear it in a way that I can see visually, right? Because if they wear it in a certain way, I can say, I'll normally say to myself, like, oh, I never thought of pairing those two items together.
Okay.
And that's where the influencing comes in.
Gotcha. Do you care if clothing goes beyond just its normal fit? So like, for example, of just being clothing. So do you wear fitness tracking devices and stuff like that?
Yes. Okay. That's an interesting point. I actually got what was the little things called? Fitbits? Fitbits, yeah. Not because there's this whole idea that like everyone's like getting fit and your Fitbit is going to help you with that. With that, like I kept telling myself I'm buying it for that reason, but I realized that I was only wearing it as an accessory. Like I would wake up in the morning and say to myself, like, my Fitbit will look good with these pants. And then I'll put them on. Yeah.
Great. And that's really interesting that you say that because like more and more as the years go by, smart fashion has really started to integrate itself into fashion culture, but it's under conventional norms. It's fairly expensive. So for example, have you heard of the Ava bra?
No.
So let me pull it up here. It's a bra that is considered smart clothing and described as the ultimate running bra that just happens to be smart. And so it can, it's very stylish, but it also is in check by listening to your heart rate and your breathing, and it monitors all these things about your body, and it can transfer that into data. And it costs $150. So yes, so there's, and there's a lot of different types of apparel like this. There's running socks that track these movements. There's socks. There's whole body outfits. Would you, as a consumer, ever be inclined to purchase something like this?
No.
Why?
Because I bought the Fitbit, and I realized it took me a while to realize that I was buying it only for fashion, and that's my biggest regret. Like, I can't return the Fitbit just because I'm like, oh, like, I regret buying this. It's so now I realize that whenever I'm looking at fashion accessories, like the Ombra, things that are seen as fashionable, but it's, the price is so high because of this, like, fitness function that it provides. I know now to be wary of those because I've seen from my personal experience what I've had with the Fitbit.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. What's one item you're dying to own right now that you haven't purchased?
Birkenstocks.
Why?
I've been wanting them for 2 years. Okay. I'm always the type of person where I want an item, but I'll think to myself, I only want it because other people have it. Mm-hmm. So I make myself wait for a full cycle of like a season or two before I let myself buy it.
So how would you define a full cycle? Like a full fashion cycle for a full year or a full season? Would you wait just for fall or for winter?
Right. It depends on the item. Okay. So for Birkenstocks, I consider a full cycle of their high peak popularity as summer. Okay. And I want to wait summer to end, winter to come around, and then summer to come back and say, do I still want it?
Gotcha. Yeah. Do you think you will go out and purchase those Birkenstocks this summer?
My plan was to buy them during the winter because I thought the prices would drop, but then I completely forgot. So I'm checking the prices in the next few days to see if they're in my price range.
Who do you consider to be your style icon?
So do you need a specific person or like a place or kind of person?
Whatever you interpret it.
It's hard because I draw myself from a number of different people. So one of them would be like Asian cultures, not like the modern ones, but more the traditional ones, because they use a lot of fabrics and patterns that I like to incorporate into what I wear. I actually like wearing men's clothing.
Okay.
It's bizarre. So I'll look at like...
Why do you think it's bizarre?
It's bizarre because I specifically buy from the men's department, but then you always think like the men's department is for the men. That was my mindset growing up. But I recently decided like I can wear whatever clothes I want from whatever department I want. So being in the men's department with like other men, it's just like it feels uncomfortable because I'm not used to it. But it's like clothes are clothes, and if I like the way they fit, then I like the way they fit.
Right on. I like that mentality.
Thank you.
And last question to finish us off. What is one fashion trend that just should never make a comeback?
Heelys?
Why?
They're dangerous. Like, I can attest. I had white Heelys, and it was so, like, you're just not only on your free time, but, like, impeding other people's, like, safety. Like, I would know that I could have, like, really hurt people on a number of occasions if it weren't for, like, the fast reflexes of my friends and my mom.
Oh, yeah. Understood.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. That's all I have for you, because thank you so much, Elaine, for coming and speaking to me today. I really appreciate
it. My pleasure. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Can you start off by saying your name, your year, and your tentative major?
Anna Brotman Crass, first year, undecided.
How would you define your personal style?
I like wearing things based on, well, I'm a very theatrical person, and one of my favorite parts of acting is I often like to design my own costumes. So, especially after reading Judith Butler's works on like doing gender and performing gender, I realized how important performing femininity and being female is to me without even realizing it. So I really like things where I feel a certain way when I wear them, whether it's feeling tough or it's feeling feminine or kind of artistic. I like having there be a feeling behind what I'm wearing. So if that comes off as preppy, which it usually doesn't, then I'll wear something preppy. If I want to just wear all black because I want to feel kind of more of like a city girl and like sort of that New York aesthetic, then I'll do that. So
what was your last purchase?
Oh, actually, there was a thrifting thing happening in the amphitheater a few days ago. So I got like a big oversized t-shirt and a big oversized sweatshirt for $3.
Nice. And going off of that, what do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
I don't know. On my like student budget, you know, I don't like paying more than like $20, $25 for a t-shirt. Yeah, I definitely have phases. There have been years where I only do consignment or I only do thrifting items, and it kind of depends on whether I'm looking for staples versus whether I'm looking for like statement pieces. And one thing that I like about what the clothes that I wear is I try to get things that I'm not going to see so much in other people, because I don't like when fashion becomes a competition. And there's so, like, as far as trends on college campuses go, it's like, who does it better? And I'm just not interested in playing that game. So I like finding things that aren't really part of a specific trend, a current trend. I like kind of outdated things, but also when I'm looking for more staples, I'll go to like stores that are not selling consignment.
Okay. And do you think fashion is a competition? Do you think it permeates culture here at UVA as well?
I think it's a college thing in general.
Okay.
Or, you know, co-ed education in general, whether it's college or high school.
Do you think you saw that in high school as well?
Yeah.
Since your first year in very recent. Okay. Interesting. Would you ever buy things that influencers post about on social media?
Yeah. I think bralettes are like things that all, like that trend is much more apparent on social media just because people aren't usually like walking around just in a bralette. Like that's the only place you'll really see it on people.
Do you care if your clothing goes beyond just being clothing? So what I'm getting at is, do you wear like tracking devices?
No.
Stuff like that. Would you ever consider looking into smart clothing, which is essentially, I'll pull up the Om bra. This is the example I like to use. So this is a bra described as the ultimate running bra that just happens to be smart, and it can track your movement, you know, your breathing, all these data aspects that you normally wouldn't get from your clothing. Mm-hmm. Do things like that, would that ever interest you as a consumer?
I don't think so. I think commercializing fitness makes it less appealing to me.
Why?
I think because, again, like, I don't like competition, and mm-hmm. the competition that I right. find most pervasive is the competition with myself. And mm-hmm. so sometimes I find that tracking my fitness takes the fun out of it. It turns into something that has to just be routine and has to be something I just want to do, when actually if I take that aspect out of it, I really enjoy it, and it's for my mind more than it is for, like, feeling like I look good or I'm fitting a certain, I don't know, like consumer part. I don't know.
No, I appreciate that. And I do agree with that, actually. I think it makes sense, right? You know, you're recording all of these. It's basically commoditizing your data. So I can empathize with that. Does it matter to you which country your shirt was made in?
Well, I mean, like American Apparel's whole thing was like made in America, but I'm pretty sure their like labor practices weren't any better, right? Like,
they're also going out of business.
And yeah, they kind of died. Not so much.
What's your favorite apparel or accessories brand with a social mission?
Do you have any examples?
So Toms, for example. You buy one pair and then they donate another pair.
I don't know about any off the top of my head. That's fine. I don't think I usually purchase. That doesn't usually influence what I buy.
Okay. When you go shop, what is the main thing you keep in mind when you're looking for your purchases? What incentivizes you to go out and shop?
Well, I think I like feeling funky, like mm-hmm. in the sense that I like having sort of weird things that are mm-hmm. still chic, in my opinion. So I think finding things that whatever that is something, like I want to find something that is unique, but maybe not loud.
And I guess that's what you mean by chic then. So yeah. And finding a balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
And something flattering is something that's very important to me.
Why?
I guess it goes back to like performing femininity, whether mm-hmm. I don't necessarily mean that as a good or a bad thing, but that's definitely something I think a lot about with clothes is I want to like focus on like feminine features of mine. Generally,
what's one item that you haven't purchased that you're dying to have right now?
Oh, I saw someone wearing a really cool, it was sort of like this shapeless black jumper thing. It sort of went between her knee and her, like mid calf, and mm-hmm. it was like flowy and black, and I think it was off the shoulder, and it just looked so comfortable and like sort of fitted on top, and then two pant legs, and maybe like a little strap. I just thought it looked cool because it was, like, beachy, but, again, chic, and it had that sort of, like, blocky look, which is really in right now.
Do you have any go-to brands that you really...
I really like this one brand, wearing this headband from it, called American Two Shot, and I have very few things from there because it's on the pricier side, but American Two Shot's this store in New York City that has just a lot of artist-made things, and I love artist-made, like, clothing. If I'm going to spend more, it's going to be... not on like H&M, but rather something that was like a local designer or a local artist. I want to support that. And also In God We Trust is another store in New York City that is a lot of like local designers, and it's a lot of like light cottons that are sort of reminiscent of 1950s styles, but like with a lot of the like more current mod looks, like trousers. So like this, I love like mixing masculine styles like trousers and boxy shirts with like more feminine cuts as well.
When did you notice about yourself that you would go out and seek out designers like that? When did that really begin? Was that in high school or did it recently just begin?
Probably in middle school, actually. My mom's an artist and also shares that mentality of like wanting to support local designers, and just her taking me to a lot of stores that have more locally designed items, like, and exposing me to that and supporting it kind of like set that mentality in me.
Who do you consider to be your style icon?
For a long time, I would have said Audrey Hepburn, just because I loved the like dainty 1960s chic look. But I think more recently, I still try to like incorporate her use of the trouser and the boxy t-shirt and ballet flats kind of idea of it. I think it varies day to day, just because I kind of bounce around from different styles. Just like,
okay. What is one trend that just should never come back?
Oh, okay. Like those sweatshirts that kind of, and shirts that bubble. Like instead of flaring out, they have sort of a rounded bottom.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're so unflattering on me. Like, I feel like you can't look good in them because mm-hmm. it's trying to be like effortless and just comfortable, but it ends up being so unflattering. And yeah.
Oh, that's all I have for you. So thank you again, Anna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Can you please state your name, year, and major?
I'm Dale Houchins. I'm a third year and newly media studies major.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today. I really appreciate it. Let's get into it. So how would you define your personal style?
Yeah, my personal style is very different, I would say, especially from a community like Charlottesville and UVA, where you kind of see the same kind of like cookie cutter, almost persona or aesthetic or everything. Mine changes a lot depending on not only like the time period, but just like the mood. So like a lot of people I'll meet and they'll be surprised the next time they see me because I look so different. This could be anything ranging from like, I've had people describe me as like grunge or like I'm wearing like all black, and other times I'll be like really like formal looking and like a tie or like button down. So it's just really like depending on the day.
And can you just tell me what you're wearing right now? Because I think this is like a very snazzy.
Oh yeah, sure. Outfit. So this is actually a Nike track jacket that I got from a thrift store, but I'm not like a big fan of logos, especially.
Why?
Just, I feel like a lot of the times they're overpowering, and a lot of people's like fashion choices are based specifically on like the brand itself and not really like the meaning behind it or the actual garment itself. And this is something I really noticed once I started like looking more into like making garments and everything. I started like getting an appreciation of the actual art behind it and not just like, oh, like that's Ralph Lauren or like that's Nike, so I'm going to wear that. But yeah, this is a Nike track jacket I got at a thrift store, but I didn't like the logo. So I do this with a lot of my clothes. I just bought this like patch. It's just this huge Japanese looking fish, and it's iron on patch. So you just like iron it. Like there's a big Nike logo under here, but you can't see. And besides that, these are just some black and gray plaid pants. I don't remember where they're from, and just cheap white shoes from Zara.
So you mentioned that you got the jacket from the thrift store.
Yeah.
How often do you go thrift shopping?
Quite a bit, especially in Charlottesville. There's not like any main malls or any like higher end stores, I guess. But thrifting, I love thrifting because they have obviously just like you never know what you're going to find. But at the same time, fashion recycles so often with its pieces and kind of like what's in style and what's not. So you could go to a thrift store and find like an older like pair of boots or like a flight jacket or something that was in style 30 years ago. And it's really good quality, but it's just so old that people don't want it anymore. They think that it's not whatever. And then if you get it, you can either like wear it as is if it's in nice condition, or put your own spin on it and just kind of bring it back almost.
Do you have a decade of choice that you tend to gravitate towards when you're selecting, you know, what you want to wear?
Right now, no. Actually, maybe the 70s, but that was... Okay. I guess kind of like based off like current fashion trends. I just kind of got into that, but no, not specifically, because like right now the latest like string of shows, a lot of what designers were putting out was almost 90s themed. And there's definitely some things about decades I don't like. Like I got really into like tailoring, and like once designers started bringing back these like really like baggy suits, like this is just recently. And I don't know, like I just didn't really like it. So
fine.
Yeah.
And so you talk about how you got into creating garments. When did that start? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, sure, definitely. So this maybe started a couple years ago, and I knew absolutely nothing about garment making. I've never took a sewing class or any sort of fashion knowledge, really, beyond just what was popular at the time or like what I read in magazines and stuff. And for me, it just started literally with like DIY things, like stuff anyone could do. For example, I used to create like rips of my own jeans or like cut up jeans, you know, or just paint on shirts, like distressed shirts. It really helps that like distress or kind of like that urban like streetwear look is in, because it's so easy to like take any like old shirt and just like kind of like rip it up or like. So it started with that, and then once I got more interested in it, it kind of transformed into a wow, let me start getting into like designing or produce my own garments myself. So last semester I took a sewing course at, it's not there anymore, but it's Le Fabrique. It was a sewing shop downtown.
Okay.
Yeah, they got rid of it, but I took courses there and I learned about like patterns and just kind of like the whole construction process, and it really, really interested me. So I like kind of took that a step further and signed up for the costume design sewing class. And from there, I've just like sort of been practicing. I just got my own sewing machine and looked in a lot into screen printing, which is just literally like printing designs on t-shirts, because that's like an easy way to distribute, like replicate things really quickly instead of like actually hand making everything. Because obviously I don't have that much experience, so it's harder for me to like actually make a garment. Everything from like going to buy the fabric to like cutting it out and like sewing and everything. And yeah, that's basically been the process.
What do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
So I guess like depending, I guess that's like not the best answer, but as far as just like a regular like cotton like plain t-shirt.
Let's do cotton shirt and then like plain cotton shirt and then a graphic tee.
So I mean, for me personally, like I'm not gonna pay over maybe 35 for like just a plain t-shirt. And of course, like that definitely depends on like who I'm getting it from and like the process behind it. Like if I'm getting a t-shirt from just like a pack of t-shirts, I'm obviously not gonna pay $35 for one of those t-shirts. But if it's from like some high-end designer who like uses some like special cotton blend or something, then I'm willing to pay a little bit more just for like a plain t-shirt. But also, like that kind of stuff doesn't really matter to me as far as like I'm pretty minimal, well, I can be, when it comes to just like t-shirts and like basic things like that. So I'm definitely not one to spend $90 on like an Alexander Wang t-shirt compared to if I could just get a black t-shirt from, you know, anywhere else. And for like a graphic t-shirt, like I said, it all depends. Like for like higher end designers, they can charge absurd amounts because they're like the main fashion house is like upwards of like $300 or whatever. I would never pay that. Maybe definitely less than $100. Mm-hmm. Probably under like $60.
Does it matter to you where your clothing is made? Do you ever keep that in mind when you go shopping?
Not to the extent where that'll like make or break anything, but that's definitely something I keep in the back of my mind, $300 or something.
As a designer, what do you think about the emergence of fashion technology?
Yeah, I think that's really important, and it's changing the industry like in so many different ways. Like when I look at, this is something I definitely appreciate when I started like making things, was all the time and effort that goes into it, hand making. Like if I hand make a t-shirt, that could take me, you know, upwards like of a day or like a lot less for some people, but like with the mass producing and like everything like that, it's so fast, it's so easy. And a lot of people say this like takes away from quality. Well, at the same time, it doesn't, just because like the technology now is so good. And I was talking to last week, I had a talk with Colin Hunter, who's the founder of Alton Lane. It's a custom suit shop for men, basically, and originated here in Charlottesville. And so he came and we went to the showroom downtown. He was talking to me about his technology, where they have a 3D body measurement scanner. So you like step into this like little box, this room, and forget exactly how it works, but it scans over like 300 or 400 measurements instead of like someone like a tailor coming up to you and like hand measuring whatever 70 or 80 measurements for your suit. This thing does it in seconds. It's 300 or 400 measurements. So it's like so tailored. It's like perfectly, you know, made for you. And so once they have all these measurements and you like buy a suit, for example, they have them all like in their system already. So if you want to buy like a shirt, pants, whatever after that, they already have all your measurements.
How do you think the fashion community tends to thrive here in a school that is so just homogenous in its fashion? Because when a lot of people think about UVA, they think of the Southern prep. They think of Vineyard Vines, Louis Pulitzer, things like that. So how would you suggest that students, you know, try and continue to sustain their own individual fashion here?
At the basis of that, it's just like being yourself and wearing what you want to wear compared to like what's, I guess, tradition or expected of you, especially in like you said, Charlottesville, a lot of brands are associated, Vineyard Vines, like Bean Boots, like everything like that. It's just, you have this kind of pressure. So I understand why it's hard for a lot of people to like break this, especially when you don't care about fashion. It's just like, oh, you know, it's so easy just to do the same thing. But it's more of just like an exploration kind of thing. Like find out like what you like, what works for you, and just explore based on that. Like these four or five brands, like that's not all that, you know, you can wear. Like there, like there's plenty of thrift shops in Charlottesville that like provide like all these awesome, like cool looking clothes. Like online shopping, obviously, it's just like transformed that. So I think it's going to definitely vary from individual to individual, like on how you would go about that.
What is one trend that you think just should never come back?
Oh God. Now lately I've not been digging the, this sort of baggy streetwear that I was not a fan of, like early 2000, like late 90s, like absurd bagginess level of jeans and stuff, or like extremely oversized, like, you know, white t-shirts and stuff. I think that should like stay in the early 2000s and just,
gotcha.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I kind of still see this now, but I'm really not a fan of dress shoes that are like square toed. That just really bugs me. I don't know why, but it's just not, it doesn't look like natural to me. It doesn't look appealing. I just don't like it. Yeah, I could definitely show you a picture if you want.
Please, please. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Right, Anthony, can you just state your name, your year, and your major, please?
My name is Anthony Del Rosso. I'm a first year, and my majors are economics and art history.
All right. Thank you so much for coming and speaking with me today, Anthony.
It's my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Let's get into it. Right. How would you define your personal style?
I try to keep it as simple as I can because I feel that clothes, I don't want my clothes to make a statement. I want them to make a statement by not making a statement. Very much the idea of Coco Chanel, so I try to wear just like a jeans and plain t-shirt every day so that people aren't distracted by it. So, like today I wear a Chewbacca t-shirt and people only look at the Chewbacca t-shirt. And, you know, I don't want people to look at the t-shirt and people to look at me.
So very minimalist.
Very minimalist.
All right.
But I also like to have, I like to dress up my jackets a lot, so I have an army jacket with a lot of band patches on it. I have a drug rug. So keep it simple in the base so it allows you to do more stuff with the jacket.
Makes sense. What was your last purchase?
My last purchase was a beautiful leather motorcycle jacket that I bought in Charlottesville.
And where did you purchase that?
It was at a thrift shop on the downtown mall, but I don't remember the name of the shop.
That's fine. How often would you say you purchase your clothing from thrift stores? Do you think it leans more towards that, or do you go more towards department stores?
I would say for things such as jackets and pants, I would usually go to thrift stores because you can get really nice pieces for relatively cheap. But when it comes to t-shirts and underwear, you should just buy online or at a department store.
And you mentioned purchasing items online. Is there a particular go-to website that you purchase your clothing online?
Well, I like to go to Amazon because you can buy in bulk, but that's also very cheap. So, for example, I wear black t-shirts a lot, and I can get 12 Hanes black t-shirts for $10 if I need to. It's cheap, and I like them.
And it's really interesting that you mention Amazon, because Amazon is such a large retailer, and I would not say that they specifically specialize in selling clothing. Mm-hmm. So why exactly? Is it because of the attractiveness of bulk? Because couldn't you just go to places like Costco or Walmart? They have an online website. And
I could, but I'm a student. I have access to a car through Zipcar, but I don't want to pay money for that. And
understood.
I could just buy the t-shirts, have it shipped to me in 2 days through Prime. Exactly. It's more convenient for me. I don't have to leave mine.
So convenience campus is definitely a factor, would you say, when you consider going shopping?
Not necessarily, because, for example, a leather jacket, I hunted for that for several months. But if it's just t-shirts, I want to make it as convenient as possible.
Great. Do you care if your clothing does anything beyond just being clothing? So, for example, a fitness tracking devices?
Don't. All my fitness tracking, I do on my phone. I'm very much into smart clothing or clothing with technology in it.
Why not?
Like I said, I don't think it's, for my purposes at least, it's not necessary for me to buy a Fitbit if I can track my heart rate and my steps and my running on my phone. It'd be redundant.
What about pieces of clothing? There's the sensory of running socks, and those can track your movements, and they can provide feedback and how to improve not just your run, but also it takes into account your heart rate and just dialetics, I believe is the term I'm looking for. They're not recorded by your phone. So would you be incentivized to purchase something like this, or do you think it's going over them all.
Not necessarily, because as you said, in analyze your running stuff, I already know how I run. Mm-hmm. I've talked to people about it. I have shoes that are designed to, you know, help my style of running. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
to correct.
Yeah. To correct, exactly. So, again, it's really redundant. I don't need it. Right. But, you know, if other people like it, who am I to judge?
What do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
Anything over $35, I find, well, $20, I find is too expensive. So, for example, there's a jewelry brand called Billy that I really enjoy, and they have, I like to support the company, but they have a t-shirt that sells $35. I really can't consciously, constantly spend $35 on a t-shirt.
How can that compete against the Hanes Black t-shirt?
Exactly. It's so practical and cheap.
Does it matter to you which country your shirt is made in?
Not necessarily. Again, I buy 10 Hanes Black t-shirts. It's probably not made in the United States if I can get it for $10 or cheaper. But, for example, if I want a dress shirt, I want that to last, so I would try to buy quality, and quality usually entails a Western manufacturer.
Would you ever be willing to pay more money for something that is manufactured in the United States if, you know, workers are being compensated more? So, for example, with American Apparel, that just had recently closed down. That was kind of their mission. Just how do you feel about that?
If they make it a comparable inferior product, no, because I'll be paying more for something. That's just not good enough for me. Mm-hmm. So, but if it's, you know, again, if it's something like the Brooks Brothers or Gap, which is the Brooks Brothers, because it's a higher quality shirt, not simply because it's manufactured in America.
And it'll last longer.
It'll last longer. And the day it's about quality.
What is your favorite apparel or accessories brand with a social mission?
I like Toms a lot. I own a pair of Toms. They're lightweight, they're comfortable, they're great for the summer, but you wear them in the house. And I like the, even though it's a flawed, but I like how they have a mission of buy one pair,
donate
another pair. Now, they could do better, but at least their minds are in the right place.
And so, kind of similarly on that topic, let's go into crowdfunding. Mm-hmm. How often do you pay attention to campaigns like these?
Very rarely. I've only really donated to two crowdfund campaigns in my life. Other than that, I really don't follow them at all.
And what campaigns did you donate to?
Donated to the Project for Awesome, and then Casey Neistat, the YouTuber, had a crowdsourcing campaign for clean water for some third world nation. I don't remember which.
Do you think many of your peers donate to crowdfunding campaigns?
I couldn't say. So, I don't
know. If you had to take a guess, though, do you think people will be...
No, I wouldn't think that they would. Mm-hmm. I think they're more interested in service work in the community, because I have two or three people that I know who are in service frats or volunteer at Madison House.
Okay.
So I would say they're more interested not in donating to campaigns, but rather trying to better the local community.
What's one item you're dying to own right now that you just haven't bought?
Yeezys. Specifically the Zebra 350 V2s, but also the brands.
Nice. And one follow-up to that, mm-hmm. Would you consider Kanye a style icon then for you? Or
what is
so attractive about the Yeezys?
What's so attractive about the Yeezys? One, I think they're a very well-made shoe. The Boost, which is the foam that they put in the soles. I own a pair of shoes with that same foam in them. They're very comfortable. I love running in them. That's one of them. I also like the knit upper. It's also a very appealing shoe. It's very minimalist. It's very attractive. And then also, Kanye had two signature sneakers with Nike for Adidas, and he's able to create something that's really fresh, it's really new. It's clearly it's a testament to his skill as a designer. And also, Kanye, you know, he's a cool guy. He's a revolutionary artist, and okay. I like him. I like his stuff that he makes.
All right, so that motivates you to purchase his products,
exactly.
Which makes sense. And to finish us off, what is one trend that just should never make a comeback, in your opinion?
I want to say the mullet, but the mullet is such a classic. Like, if we have just had, 5 years of hockey mullets back, I wouldn't be mad at it. But a trend that shouldn't come back.
Are there any trends that are coming back right now that you are just not having?
Oh, 90s chokers, that's just off the top of my head.
Ah.
Very high and tight.
I understand.
You look like Wednesday Addams.
Yes, and it's definitely, it has resurfaced. That is definitely one of them. All right, well, that's all the questions I have for you today, Anthony. Thank you again so
You're
much.
Welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed myself.
Can you please state your name, year, and major?
Ben Homecamp. I'm a third year, and I'm a double major in commerce and math.
How would you define your personal style?
I'm a classic man. I would say I like simple things, probably. I don't really like very, snazzy type dress or anything like that.
What was your last purchase fashion-wise?
I'll be honest. Usually when I get clothes, it's for Christmas or my birthday. So I don't usually prioritize spending money on fashion, often at all.
So with the clothing you do have, what are your go-to brands? Or what are brands that you often wear?
So I like For like, you know, collared shirts and stuff, I like Polo. For shorts and stuff, I like J. Crew. Other than that, I don't really like, I'm not really taken to a certain brand, I wouldn't think. I have Nike shoes, like, for like when I like work out or run and stuff. And I wear them like when I walk around campus and stuff as well.
How often do you thrift shop?
Not very often. So when I shop, I've never been like a huge clothing shop.
When you say your ratio when you do go shop, is it, do you primarily shop online or do you go in person when you do end up going out?
Actually, honestly, probably online. I usually go online and then like get a sense of like what I would want. And then I would go out and get it like physically or something. I think that's usually how it happens.
Why?
I would say like, you know, I guess I could order it and like that's, you know, you could say that that's easier, but also like there's a timing of it. I still think there's like some value to go and try it on because like when you order something, you don't know if it's going to fit you and everything. But it's kind of cool to like be able to just like right now take out my phone or go on the laptop and just like immediately be able to get a sense of like what I would want to wear and stuff like that.
Do you care if your clothing does anything beyond just being clothing? So this is kind of getting into fashion tech and fitness tracking devices. Are any of those appealing to you?
I wouldn't say to me personally, but I definitely think there's a trend for that, like the Apple Watch and stuff. I mean, the closest thing I would do that is like maybe if I like had the money, I would like get an Apple Watch or something. But like I wouldn't really do that now. But that's probably the closest thing I would get to like wearable like technology or something like that. I wouldn't say anything more like as far as like a shirt or like shorts go that I would care about that.
What do you think is a fair price for a t-shirt?
So probably anywhere from $5 to $12, I think is a good price. I think a fair price, I'd be, if it's a nice shirt, I'd be willing to pay like 15 or something like that.
Does the fact that a brand have a social mission appeal to you? Would you be willing to pay more for a product if it
has? If it has a story, yes, probably. I think, yeah, there's value in that.
Does it matter to you which country your shirt was made in?
It does not, I wouldn't say.
Do you associate higher quality with clothing that's made in America?
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't, given like two different shirts, if one was made in America and one was made somewhere. Maybe to me, fashion is a little bit more of a commodity than to other people. So mm-hmm. like I would be, I'm maybe more sensitive to price. Just because like I said, I have simple tastes. Like so in general, like price is definitely like a factor when I shop, as it is for everybody. But you know, that's kind of like my point. When I say, like, I don't like anything really fancy or anything like that.
What's one item you're dying to own right now that you haven't purchased?
If I had to choose one, probably a pair of sunglasses or something.
Like Ray-Bans?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. I just lost mine, so.
Ah, I see. So there's utility in that.
Yeah, exactly.
What is one trend that should never come back?
Can I say a trend that should that exists now that shouldn't?
Yeah, yeah.
All please. Right, I don't like chokers. I think that would die.
Why?
I think the choker trend should be choked.
Oh, that was a good. And with that, thank you, Benjamin. Thank I really you, appreciate Melissa. It.
Done and done. I hope you enjoyed that, guys. I really got so much out of listening to these awesome students who took their time to sit down and talk to the Spirit of 628 podcast in the midst of their studies. I mean, what's going on over at that campus is no joke. These kids are really smart. They have a lot to do. And so we appreciated them giving us their thoughts. I hope it will help you get some inspiration for what you're doing with your business, help you kick a little bit more ass today with what you're working on. You know, my goal is for all of you to succeed so that we have a better future for the fashion industry. Speaking of better futures, if you want the Spirit of 608 to have a better future, one easy, free, awesome thing you can do is to subscribe to the show in iTunes, rate and review us. Just takes a couple seconds. We'll love you endlessly forever and always. I was going to give you guys a quick rundown of what's going on inside the Spirit of 608 Facebook group, but honestly, I don't think my voice can take it. It's about to peter out. So I will just say, I would love to see you there. Come join us. I share media tips and we share tools that are helping us all in our businesses. And we try to support each other and generally help each other out whenever we can. You'll find links to join that in the sidebar of both the Spirit of 608 and Prestope blogs. So that's spiritof608.com/blog and prestope.com/blog. Hope to see you there. And I hope you will join me next week for another conversation with a woman at the forefront of fashion, entrepreneurship, sustainability, and tech. As you know, I call it FEST, and it's the future.